You know, one of the things I have noticed over the last several months, every time I go to prayer to prepare my Sunday homily, the theme always seems to come up that of trying to persuade people of their need for Jesus. And it's not even that I plan it, but it's just, that's what I do. I go before the Lord and I ask him, and what he keeps trying to propose to me is almost like, convince my people they need me. And I think that's probably due to the background that we do have a lot of things in our culture today that are trying to convince us that we don't need Jesus. He's optional. You're a little bit fanatical to even be here this morning. It's pretty much, this is optional. It's not that important. And that's what we call periphery religion. That's someone practicing their faith, but they're on the periphery. And what our Lord is attempting to do and wants to do is get us in there, get into a relationship with him that is meaningful and real and alive. And so today, again, with my homily, I want to speak to that again. What are we, this need that we have for Jesus? There's so many ways that I can't even begin to recount them over the last several months. I've done that to try to speak to this, of how we do need Jesus in our culture. That he is not optional. And the attribute that comes out, I think, in the readings today is an attribute unique to God alone. There's many of them, of course, eternity being one of those. We're not eternal, he is. That's an attribute proper to God. Only he's eternal. But there's another one, and St. Augustine discovered this, and it's what helped him become a Catholic. Augustine was most captivated by the problem of evil when he was younger, and it led him down many, many cul-de-sacs and dead ends, until he finally happened upon a truth about God, which immediately led him to convert to the Catholic faith, as his mother Monica, of course, had prayed so earnestly for. And it was this, that God alone can bring good out of evil. And it makes perfect sense when you start to meditate on that truth. And one of the images we have in our readings today of what that looks like is water coming from a rock. Now, that's impossible. That's like saying if you plant an acorn, you'll get a zebra. Well, that's ridiculous. You don't plant acorns and get zebras. And you don't, you know, if I ask for a glass of water after I've been out in the hot triple-digit sun in the DFW Metroplex, and I go, oh, I'm so thirsty, and you come to me and you give me a rock, I'm going to go, why'd you give me a rock? Well, take some water out of that. I mean, that would be ridiculous. You don't get water out of a rock. And we don't get good, you and I, out of evil. It's impossible. It's impossible. And maybe the greatest sign of that is the crucifixion, of course, where here we have death, and God brings good out of it. This death would be what would consign us to an eternity of death. And yet, God, in Jesus Christ, has made the very gateway to our eternal death a gateway to eternal life. We can't do that. We couldn't do that. That's bringing good out of an evil. Now, to maybe help us appreciate that a little bit, I want to talk about the Catholic Church's understanding, then, of evil. Now, I don't want to make this like an academic treatise. That's not what it needs to be. But I think we do, in order to appreciate what it means to bring good out of evil, we need to understand at least something about what evil is, according to the Catholic understanding. And evil is a privation of a good. That's what evil is. There's different kinds of evils, and again, I'm not going to get into all those categories, but there is such a thing as moral evil, and that's evil that we bring about in the world. It's it's an evil we do. That, for example, thou shalt not kill. Well, when I kill someone, I have committed an evil. There's a good there that should still be there, a life, and I've taken it away. Now there's a privation there. There is someone that should be there that isn't because of what I've done. All right, that's a moral evil. That's the privation of a good that should be there but isn't. And now there's no one there because of what I've done. And that's evil. There's also what we call ontic evils. Now these are evils that are no one's particular fault, like if I was born blind, for example. The eye has the good of being able to see, but if I'm born blind, there's a good that is missing, sight from my eyes. And I suffer that. We suffer from evil. We suffer from these privations of goods that should be there, but are not. And I mean, probably the greatest evil we suffer is death itself. Death is a good that should be there, life, but it isn't. And we expire, we're gone, it's over, we end. And we can't stop it. That's an evil that is ever present on our heels from the moment of our conception. So you get the idea. So that means evil is really nothing. It's a good that should be there, like sight, but it isn't. So there's really no sight there. There's nothing there. See, we can't bring something out of nothing. So that once I have a good that I've lost in my life, the best I can do is pretend it's there because it's gone. And that gets into what St. John in the Bible calls the life of empty show. We're putting on a show. It's a charade. Jesus said it to the scribes and Pharisees. You're like whitened sepulchres. You're all nice and whitewashed on the outside, when inside, you're dead. Well, that's a privation of a good that should be there, life. I put it there in the beginning, but it's gone. And so they're pretending to be alive, when in fact they're quite dead. And of course, they didn't appreciate Jesus telling them that. You get the idea. You see what I'm saying? Evil is a nothing. It's a good that should be there that is absent. It's a privation of a good. We can't bring something out of nothing. We're powerless to do that. But God can. He can bring water out of rocks, even if the rock happens to be my own heart. Oh, yes. The heart of stone is capable of bringing forth water. Oh, yes, it is. But it's not because of us. It's because of Him. He brings good out of evil. And the sin we commit does nothing other than harden our heart. That's what it does. That's one of the fruits. Because when we sin, we're depriving ourselves of goods. And perhaps one of the best indicators of this is something that is a privation in our lives that is the result of our original sin from Adam and Eve. And this is a good that was intended to be as natural to all of us here as sight is natural to the eye. And that is a relationship with God. We were created to have a relationship with God in the same way that the eye was created to see. The lungs were created to take in oxygen. The ear was created to hear. And we were created to be in a relationship with God. And here we are walking around in our culture saying, that's optional. There's something wrong. What does that mean? A lot of people are asleep. They're asleep. They're like the living dead. That's what that is. And there's no remedy for it. There's no remedy for it except the one God provided in Jesus Christ. What renders us capable of a relationship with God is sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace is the grace Jesus won back for us on the cross that is ministered to us at our baptism. When we are baptized, sanctifying grace is given to us, and we come into relationship with God. A good has been restored to us. We can lose that good, though, and once again start to pretend like I'm in a relationship with God that isn't there. See what I'm saying? That is the life of empty show. Jesus comes to give us substance that, in fact, we can be alive. I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. Not just to come and make bad people good people, but to make dead people live. And only God can do that, see? And so I think what these readings are really trying to convince us of, you know, especially with the image of water, with the woman of Samaria, is we really do need Jesus to be alive, or else we're just pretending. We're just pretending. And of course, when we come before him at the end of our life, you can't just pretend to be alive. You're either going to be dead or alive. And everything we need for life is given to us in Christ. We've received it in baptism, but we also need to cultivate these gifts. We need to develop them. We need to appreciate them and not be too careless with them because we don't want to lose them. We don't want to lose them. And I realize I'm not talking to everyone here that needs to hear this. Some of you don't need to hear this, but I am reaching out to the peripheries today. Some of you, maybe you're here this Sunday and you won't be next. I don't know where you are. But I'm reaching out to you, especially any of you that might be on the periphery of this walk with Jesus as though, you know what, yeah, maybe this Sunday, but not next. Or, yeah, what does it matter? I don't register on his radar at all anyway. And I got news for you. He's coming to you from this altar and he's got something to say to you that he doesn't have to say to me. He's got something to say to you, all of us here from this altar. He's coming to you. Maybe you're like Lazarus in the tomb, and as he comes to you from this altar, he's saying, come forth, come alive, come out from behind the tombs and the shadows, come into the light. Maybe that's what he's saying to you. I don't know, but he's saying something to every single one of us at this Mass today, to you personally. He knows your name, and that's the truth. That's the truth, and that means life for us, brothers and sisters. It means life for us, and he has come to give us life to the full.